This church this morning, K through 6, all you can follow Debbie. I want to again thank everybody for coming out yesterday. It was an awesome day. We had a lot done. It just shows you what the body can do, all the talents and just the time that was spent. We got a lot done, and it was really encouraging just to see everybody helping out and getting things done. It helps us a lot with the rest of the year and helps us get done things done quickly so we don't have to keep working on all this just upkeep and stuff. So real thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We're going to be turning our attention. We're not going to be in Hebrews this morning. I know we've been in Hebrews for a little while, but we're going to be in Luke 19 this morning. It'll be a very familiar passage, but very great, deep spiritual truth. So let's go to the Lord as we just prepare our hearts for Him to do His work in us. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for the blessing it is, again, to be Your child. Lord, to have Your Spirit living in us, and Lord, for You to teach us, to move in us, Lord, to give us Your Word, Your powerful Word that is living and sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. It knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts, Lord. It makes us complete and prepared for every good work, Father. It is amazing that we have Your Word, and Lord, that it is everything. It's a guide for our lives. It reveals things to us about who You are and how You want us to live our lives. And so this morning, I pray that just knowing that, Lord, we would really turn our attention to You and listen carefully to what You have to say, Father. Lord, to listen carefully to Your Spirit leading in each one of our lives, meeting us where we are, and then turning our attention to You and helping us see and understand what changes need to be made in our lives and what direction You want us to go, Lord. Lord, help us to respond with just attentiveness and an obedient heart, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one there in front of you. Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. Do you know how loved you are? Have you ever thought about that? Do you understand the amazing love God has for you? And we all know there's lots of different passages we can look at, but God created each one of you. Scripture says that you are wonderfully made. It's in Psalm 139. God knows everything, every single thing about you, even the number of hairs on your head. When He created you, He also planned out these works before you were born, He says, in hopes that you would walk in them. Because He is all-powerful, He's all-knowing, His loving plans for us are the best plans possible. There is no greater plan than the plan that God has for you. You are greatly loved. Now, I think we sometimes underestimate that, but actually, God loves every human being this way. Every human being. He desires that not one of them would perish, but that all would be forgiven, that all would be restored into a relationship with Him. And we see that in the heart of love that Jesus has as when He was here on the earth and He walked and He ministered to people. He loved those who no one else loved. He loved those who did nothing to deserve being loved, just like all of us. We did nothing to deserve His love. He loved us anyway. Now, I want us to begin to unravel this desire that God has to go after the one. The one. To go after that one. He is sensitive to each person's life, our needs, our pains, our sufferings, especially our need for Him. And every day He turns His attention to people in order to meet them where they are and minister to their hearts. As His child, as a child of God, He does that every day. For you and I. Every day. We might not even realize it or not. But He is turning His attention to you. Jesus is interceding for your life. He knows what's best. He knows what's going on. He knows what you're feeling. And He's turning His attention to you. And He's giving you His time. He's giving you His power, His love, His joy. Here we have this very familiar story. It's a very simple story. We've heard it probably many times. You might even sing a song about this story. But it's filled with great spiritual truth about Jesus' mission, His desire to turn His attention to the one. Let's look there in verses 1 through 7 first in Luke 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. And so he ran on ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Now here we see Jesus, he's traveling through Jericho. But I want us just to, let's just back up just a little bit in this journey and just the passage just before this, and let's see what happens on the outskirts of Jericho before he enters the town. On the outskirts of Jericho, along the road, there was a blind man. And he's sitting there and he's begging for his survival. This is a time where, you know, this blind man, there wasn't no government assistance for him. It was whether he went out there and begged and got money to buy his food or not. There was no other way for him. There was no job for this blind man. And he's out there begging along the side of the road. And so he's begging for his survival, really. And I've seen people like this. The blind man, evidently, he probably heard about Jesus. Maybe someone, he heard people talking about his powerful miracles. We know he didn't see them. Maybe it was about Jesus' love for all people. You know, maybe it was who he claimed to be. We're not really sure what he knew about Jesus. Whatever the case was, he began to cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." Now, there was already a crowd traveling along with Jesus, and you can imagine all the distraction. All these people around Jesus as he walked along the road, wanting him to do things, giving requests for him to do something for them, healing or whatever it may be. And so there's a pile of people here. They're just traveling along. And the ones in the front of the crowd, they told the blind man, "Hey, hush up. Stop your yelling." But Jesus heard the blind man. He stopped in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the crowds and he turned his attention to this one blind man. Think about that. Everything that's going on, people talking and yelling and asking, and he hears this blind man over on the side, and he stops and he turns his attention. And Jesus asked him, he said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, "You know, I want you to restore my sight." And Jesus spoke. I love that. He didn't even touch him. He just spoke, and his sight was restored. And he said to the blind man, "Your faith has made you well." You see, Jesus, we see this in Jesus. He just was always willing to stop and give attention to the one who was seeking him. We see this over and over in different places, different stories. He was never too busy to pay attention to one person. To stop in all the busyness and all the hustle and bustle and busyness of the crowd and give attention to one person. Jesus then continues on through Jericho. And as the crowd moves through, another man named Zacchaeus lived there. It's funny when you look at the meaning. Zacchaeus actually means righteous one. And yet Zacchaeus was far from righteous. He was not living up to his name. He was the chief tax collector, which meant he managed the other tax collectors. He was very rich, it says, probably because he was a cheat. You see, the more money they took in, the more they earned, the more they earned. And so therefore he would collect more than was owed. And therefore the Jews hated tax collectors. I mean, Zacchaeus had aligned himself with the Romans. He was working for them. He was a government official and he worked for those who were oppressing his own people. And on top of that, he took advantage of them in their oppression. Just think about that. You can think about the hate, the bitterness that they had toward someone like Zacchaeus. But that day something was going on in Zacchaeus' life. We don't know exactly what Zacchaeus was thinking or what was on his heart that drove him to do two things that really a man in his position would never do. Wealthy men in the East never ran. They didn't run. They didn't run. Somebody else might run for them, but they didn't run. And they definitely didn't climb trees. Zacchaeus was acting like a curious young child who wanted to see what was going on. Maybe he had heard something about Jesus. Maybe he was curious about what Jesus might do. There's this huge crowd. Maybe he just wanted to make sure he was able to see. Maybe he just didn't want to miss out on anything. But whatever the case was, because he was a short man, there was no way for him to see over this crowd. And so he just ran. He ran ahead of the crowd. He climbed up this tree. And it's quite funny to think about, and it would have been very strange for the watching crowd. What's interesting to me about this story is that just a little bit before in chapter 18, Jesus told his disciples something. He said, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And so it's funny to me here, Zacchaeus is acting like a child seeking to see Jesus. You see, what we learn here is, although it may seem that Zacchaeus is seeking out Jesus, it's actually Jesus that is seeking out Zacchaeus. It is Jesus who turns his attention from the crowd to this one man. If we were to look at Romans 3:11, it says that in our human nature, no one seeks after God. No one seeks after God. If you look back to the very beginning, when our first parents sinned against God, you're going to find them hiding. It's actually God who comes and seeks after them. We'll see this example in Jesus, how he lives his life. He was always seeking after those who were lost without a shepherd. He was seeking those who were in need of a physician, those who were in need of salvation. He was drawing Zacchaeus to himself. He was preparing his heart. We don't know exactly what was going on. Maybe Zacchaeus had realized that there was no hope in the riches of this world and he was looking for something more. Whatever the case, as he sat in that tree, Jesus walked by. And when Jesus walked by, he stopped, he turned his attention to Zacchaeus. He looked up in it and he said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, you come down because today I'm going to stay at your house." He called him by name. He showed him attention. Zacchaeus, man, he quickly came down out of that tree and it says he received him joyfully. Now, Luke uses this same word, this joyfully, this word, 9 other times. And it's really interesting because it uses it for in a way that's an attitude of joy that's accompanied with salvation. It's accompanying faith in salvation. So he's using the same word. We don't know exactly what Jesus shared with Zacchaeus. But we do know from this passage that he shared something with him about salvation. Because we're going to see that in this passage. We'll see what happens. So he comes down, he receives him joyfully. Whether he received right at that moment faith of salvation in him or was later on as Jesus shared with him about the kingdom, whatever the case was, we're going to see what happened to Zacchaeus' heart. Do you see the heart of Jesus to seek out after that one? Zacchaeus was just like the rest of us. He's a sinner who deserves God's holy judgment. Just like the rest of us. He had based his life on what the world said was important. A high position, prestige, power, material things, riches, living however he wanted to. And it had left him empty, just like it does for every one of us today. He was no different than any of us. The crowd saw his sin. Verse 7 states, he says, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. How the world loves to point out the sin of others, yet they themselves do not live by the same standard. Isn't that funny? Wrongdoing only applies when it affects them. But here the crowd noticed. They knew this man is a sinner. How can Jesus go to be with him? How many times do we see others with the same eyes as this crowd? How many times do we see the sin and label them as condemned? When we see a sinner, Jesus sees a man in need of forgiveness. Man seeks to turn away from. Man seeks to condemn people, but Jesus seeks to save and restore people. How many times have we been influenced by the crowd around us to not get involved in someone else's life? Maybe it was the criticism like Jesus received right here in this passage. You're not going to spend time with that guy, are you? I mean, do you know what he did? I mean, do you know his family? How many times are we influenced by others around us to not reach out to those who are lost and dying in their sin? Knowing God's heart, knowing His desire to reach each person, knowing His mission and the part that He has given us. And we know this. I preach about it almost every Sunday. We know this. Knowing that we have the message of life and hope that brings salvation to the world. Knowing that it is our responsibility to share that message, that good news. Knowing that, I'm asking you, each one of you, are you willing to pursue the goal that we have here at Maysville? To pray daily for those you know that are far from God. To ask the Lord to show you who might be your Zacchaeus. Who might be that one person that God is drawing, that He wants you to turn your attention to pray for, to love on, to minister to share with. Who's your one? We made this goal in January. We're asking you to ask the Lord, who's your one? And here's where I plead with you. Please pray every day that God would reveal that one person. We're not asking you to, we're not even asking you to reach the whole community or anything. We're just asking you to look for one person. Just one. Pray that each person here in this body would have the opportunity to lead someone to faith this year. Can you imagine? Just think about that. What would happen if every follower of Christ led a person to, just one person to Jesus? It would turn this community upside down, our nation. It would change our whole nation and the world if just every believer just led one person. Not five, not ten, just one. Billions of people would come to faith. Next, we see that change takes place in a person's life because of true repentance. God changes those who truly repent and believe. Look there at verse 8 and 9. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." Now here we get a small glimpse into what happened after Zacchaeus repented and made a decision to follow Jesus. According to the Mosaic law, a thief who confessed his crime had to restore what he took plus a fifth. So whatever he stole, if he was going to restore it back, they found it, he'd have to restore that back plus a fifth. If he stole something and could not restore it, he had to pay back four times the amount. Some really high interest. Zacchaeus didn't think to do as little as possible according to the law. He was thinking not of his own interest, but the interest of those he stole from. He gave more than what was expected of the law anyway, by the law, because his heart had truly been changed. Zacchaeus had truly been saved through faith in Christ, and there was evidence of it. There was a change that was taking place in his life. Jesus said there in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham." Jesus saw the repentant heart of Zacchaeus. I love this. And he saw the change that took place because of it. Now, his works were evidence of his true faith. It was not that he promised to do these good works. That was, his good works didn't save him. It was his true repentance. It was his faith in Christ that saved him. James 2:17 states, though, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." It is dead. It is dead. So works are important. See, when we truly repent of our sin, meaning we turn away from our old lifestyle and we turn to Christ and we have faith in His work on the cross, not our works, but His work. When we truly surrender our lives to Him, what happens is we see evidence of salvation in our lives. Because when we truly have faith, God adopts us as His children. He adopts us into His family. He fills us with His Holy Spirit, and we are then born of God. Born of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states that in Christ we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. At that moment, God starts changing us. The fruits of the Holy Spirit of living in us start to be evident in our lives. It's just as Jesus told us. He said, "You will know them by their fruit." See, God changes those who truly repent of their sin and surrender their lives to Christ. You're no longer slaves to sin. You have been empowered by God. Almighty God lives in us and gives us that power we need to overcome our flesh, to overcome our weaknesses, to overcome temptation, and ultimately, in the end, overcome the grave. That's what we're excited about. We're really excited about overcoming the grave and living forever with Him in heaven. In the mission God has entrusted to us, we must always remember His responsibility and our responsibility. God is the one who draws people to Himself. We need to remember that. He's the one who does that. He's the one that can soften a hard heart. He's the one that can open the minds of people. He's the one that can take the blindness away from people's eyes that Satan has put there. God is the one who draws people to Himself. He is the one, just like He did here with Zacchaeus. He is the one who prepares their hearts, just like He did with the blind man. He is the one that saves them and brings powerful change into their lives, just like we see in Zacchaeus' life. We are the ones who pray for them, who love on them and minister to them and share the truth with them. That is our responsibility. And we need to remember that. God draws and saves. We share, we love, we plant the truth, the seed of the gospel, so that He can save people. That's the way His plan of salvation works. Are you ready? Are you being discipled? Meaning, are you in a small group where you are being prayed for, encouraged, learning the truths of God's Word, learning by the example of others, and being held accountable to walk by faith? Are you being equipped to obey what God has commanded you to do? That's the kind of training that we all need in order to obey God's Word and pursue His mission. That's called discipleship. And that's the kind of training we receive here in our discipleship here at Maysville. If you've never been a part of one of those groups, that's what we're trying to facilitate. That's what we're trying to do. That's the community that we need. It's just not about sitting in our seats on Sunday morning. Yes, we get to hear truth from God's Word, but then we leave. What examples do you see throughout the week of people living out that truth? When do you hear the encouraging word? When it's hard? When you struggle? Are you in a place like that of community? That's what God had for us. That's the family of God. That's the church. We need that. We desperately need someone holding us accountable to live out this life. Otherwise, we leave here and 2 hours later, we've forgotten about what was preached. Tomorrow we get into work and we get busy and we've forgotten about that. It's the body of Christ. That's the benefit of the body, to help us pursue Him, His mission, pursue holiness, to pursue our community. We need the body of Christ. We need discipleship. Who's your one? Are you ready to share? God is ready. He is willing to share. He's willing to forgive and restore each person, each one. Just like the father of the prodigal son story. I love that story because with open arms, he runs to his son when he returns. And God is waiting. He's waiting with compassion to run to those with open arms and receive those back that are seeking Him, that want to seek faith and find salvation in Christ. Which brings us to the last verse. Jesus uses believers in His mission to seek and save the lost. Look there at verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. This is a key verse in Luke's gospel. In Luke's gospel, which describes the compassionate Son of Man who is the Savior of the world. Jesus came to seek and save people. That's His mission. That has always been God's plan. We see His plan to send the Savior from the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis 3:15. You can go all the way back to the beginning and see God's plan unfolding. See, God knew that He would have to come Himself to save us. He knew that He would have to come and make a way for each one of us. So He had to come and be like us, overcome sin, live a perfect life, take our punishment of death on Himself, die in our place. But not only that, He had to defeat death by rising from the grave. He knew that He would have to come and seek us out and save us. And He's still doing the same thing today. Jesus is still seeking out people. He's still drawing them to Himself. It's amazing to see the work of God, to hear what He's doing all around the world. I was talking to somebody this week, and I can't remember who it was, but I was talking about, you know, what it's like when, like when we were on the field and we would send back reports of what was going on. We incorporated the whole country of Sri Lanka. Different people's lives that we were involved, different churches. I mean, can you imagine if we were to incorporate the state of Virginia? All the awesome, wonderful things that God is doing, if we got a report on that. Sometimes just being here in our community or just being here in this small body, we might be unaware of all the amazing things that God is doing to bring salvation to people. Sometimes we have to look and research and find out, what is God doing around the world? I love the Voice of the Martyrs. They send out that magazine. I love these different things that we can look at today and find out what's going on around the world. I love going on mission and meeting people on the other side of the world who are brothers and sisters in Christ with us and seeing God save people or seeing people who have never heard about Jesus come to faith. God is working all around the world. He is drawing people to Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, through every circumstance they face. He is empowering His ambassadors, that's us, to get out, to go out and share the good news about salvation so that He can save them. Jesus sought you out. He did. You're here today because hopefully He sought you out. He drew you to Himself. The Father drew you to Himself. Jesus put someone in your life to share the good news about Jesus with you. He did that. And by His grace, through faith in Christ, He saved you. He sought us out. I mean, we can't even contemplate. God knows everything about every single person. Over 7 billion people on this earth. He knows every circumstance, everything that's going on. And He's able to turn His attention to one of us and seek us out and draw us to Himself. Work through circumstances, through the gospel being shared with you to save you. He cares that deeply about you, about the one. When you were adopted by God, He came to live in you. And He starts to take the, we start to take on the desires of His heart. Oh, give me the desires of my heart. That's His desires. He starts to implant those in our heart. We start to think of things from a different perspective, and we start to act with compassion and love as He does. And daily He starts to mold us into His likeness. And when He speaks, we listen. Because we love our Father. He saved us. We want to know what He has to say. And so we listen and we obey. Therefore, shouldn't we have the same desire that our Father has? To go after the one? To seek after that one person that God has placed in your life that He wants you to share with, to love on, to minister to? Shouldn't we have the same desire to turn our attention from all that the world has us doing and seek His mission and look for that one person? Because all of us, every single human being is created in the image of God. We are all sinners and we are all in need of Jesus. God is working in our lives right now. He's changing us from the inside out. He's producing fruit in your life that gives evidence of your salvation. He's giving us the heart like His to seek out those that are far from God, to find them and introduce them to Jesus so that He can save them. As the worship team comes, I want you to stay seated for a moment. I want you to take time right now to pray to your Father in heaven. I want you to ask Him to give you a heart like His. Lord, give me a heart like Your heart. A desire that You have for people, for that one. Lord, give me the eyes that You have to see them and see their state, to understand where they are in their life. Give me a desire to see them saved. Ask God to reveal in your life sin. Maybe like Zacchaeus, where he fully repented and turned away from that. Maybe there's some things in your life that you've never truly repented of. Maybe there's some sin that you don't even call sin. And you need to ask Him right now, Lord, is this keeping me from seeking after the one? Is this keeping me from being involved in Your mission? Is this something that I need to repent of? And then ask Him this year to show you who is the one in your life that He wants you to reach out to love on, to minister to, and to pray. So let's ask God to give us a heart like His. Let's ask Him to reveal our sin so that we can repent. Let's ask Him to show us the one. Let's pray.